Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, bordering on Christmassy, this message, just almost veering towards that season. So, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is all about the arrival of Jesus, the Son of God, God becoming man. And this wonderful name that Scripture uses, Emmanuel, God with us. God comes and is coming to dwell amongst us. Now, in this season, the Holy Spirit is really doing some wonderful, extraordinary things amongst us. And it's all evidence of God with us. It's all evidence of the presence of Almighty God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So with the arrival of Jesus, I wonder what, if we interviewed Joseph and Mary, what their kind of conversation would go like. I wonder what kind of difference having Jesus around made to the first Christmas. I don't know about you, but sometimes all I pray for Christmas is a quiet one. I mean, I pray to have a good influence on my family and nice presents. But one of my goals is, oh God, please let it be quiet. So we can actually take some time out and have a good rest. But what was it like when Jesus first arrived? Well, I believe if you had them on an interview panel, they would say it was a total shock. It was a total life-changing thing to have Jesus with them. And I'm sure Joseph, being a man of the word, he knew the word, he would have said to the Lord, after he'd had this dream and found out what God had done with Mary, he would have said, "Now I understand what it means. Your ways are higher and your thoughts are higher, because my thoughts could never come close to what you've just done in my life." And these guys, they were faithful Jews. Mary and Joseph, they were actually well prepared for Jesus. They were faithful in terms of their lifestyle and what they did in terms of their worship of God in the community, because the word says that Joseph was a righteous man. He was well known for being a man who was faithful to God. But they were ordinary people. And the fact that they were ordinary, I believe, is very encouraging for you and I. Because God makes his home with ordinary people. Jesus comes to dwell with ordinary people. And they were poor. And I was really moved to think that the Lord of glory, the Lord who created everything, should make his home with a poor family. How do we know they were poor? Well, because they offered a sacrifice in the temple of a poor family. Two turtle doves or two pigeons. It was part of the sacrifice when they presented Jesus, the firstborn, in the temple to God. And so they weren't wealthy, well-off, well-heeled people. Joseph was a tradesman. He was a carpenter because Jesus learned his trade, learned from Joseph. He was betrothed to Mary. Now, in the Jewish culture, that meant that they'd made a covenant a year before they actually came together physically. It's a bit different to our culture. And so for a whole year, they lived a betrothed life. A covenant is an unbreakable commitment to keep your word. And we know that Joseph honored God and Mary because he didn't have a physical relationship with Mary until, actually, after Jesus was born. And so we know that he lived right in his relationship to his future wife. He honored her and he honored God with God's will for their relationship. All of this is so important to know that this is who we're going to be caretakers of the King of Kings, of the Son of God. The origin of Joseph is very interesting. Matthew starts out with all these names. Whoever begot, whoever begot, whoever begot, whoever begot. 14 generations to 14 generations, 14. I'm not going to go right through them, but I can tell you that Joseph was in a royal line. And that actually you could trace Joseph back to Abraham. And so that meant when Jesus was born, he had a legal kind of inheritance. Although Joseph wasn't his natural father, he was born a ruler because he was the son of David. You could trace this king back to David. And so Joseph had this kind of background, but he also lived in this kind of lifestyle as a faithful man of integrity. And I believe that he's the kind of man that any woman would want to marry. We'll have a look a little bit further into this, but this is an honorable, upstanding, faithful, righteous man of God. But God upset the apple cart for them as a couple. Because they had their plans, and then God actually brought about his plan through their lives. God had promised, and we read the promise throughout the Old Testament, through the prophets, the word of God, that Israel would have a Messiah. And that this would be the Savior, he would be Lord, he would be a ruler, shepherd, and king of Israel. And that actually salvation would come through this Messiah. And so they were a people who lived expecting the promise to be fulfilled. It's like us today. We live expecting promises to be fulfilled. Because in Jesus, every promise qualifies us because we're in Christ. Is yes and amen in Christ. And so we're a people who are expecting a promise. But for the Jews, they were expecting the promise, who is the Messiah. Well, you know the story about Mary. I'm not going to go much into Mary today because I'm going to speak more about the unsung hero, Joseph. But the top angel arrives and communicates, declares to Mary that the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow her and she's going to give birth to a son who is Jesus, the Lord Most High, God. Mary, interestingly, gives God her yes. God never forced Mary to say yes. But Mary said, I don't know how it's going to be, but yes. And so if you've chosen to work the promise out this way, it's still yes. I believe the promise, but the way it happens, I'll say yes to the way that you want to fulfill your promise. Mary giving God her yes meant that God could do his will on earth. And I believe this is a huge key in looking into how God fulfills promises, is that he works not just with his word, not just with faith, but with the yes in his people. I believe, Mary said, I accept your word, because she said, let it be to me according to your word. And then she said, I am prepared to carry the promise in whatever way you want me to. She didn't discuss the terms and conditions of the fulfillment of the promise. Now, then we have this little issue with Joseph, who finds out, I don't know if Mary went to him and said, I'm pregnant. I don't know how he found out. But it's no small issue for somebody who's betrothed to hear that their future wife is pregnant. And so the news breaks out, and Joseph had it in mind not to expose her to public disgrace. Why do I think he's an amazing guy? Because he's not thinking about himself, even when he thinks she's done him wrong. He is saying, I want to protect you. He's a kind man. And he says, I want to protect you, Mary, but I also am going to divorce you, put you away without disgrace. So that's the kind way of doing the right thing. The thing was, she hadn't sinned. This was God. So don't let's use this analogy for those who fall. It's a bit different, but there's absolutely forgiveness when there's repentance. But Mary hadn't done anything wrong. Okay, she's pure, she's holy, she's set apart. So Joseph gets this dream. And it's wonderful that God breaks in by speaking into our lives. He breaks in and says, it's not what you think. It's like this, Joseph. Aren't you glad God doesn't leave you to your own outworking of your own life? And God brings a dream. He communicates to Joseph through a dream. I think one of the easiest ways to hear God, and it doesn't happen to me often enough, because there are many ways to hear God. We need to be trained in hearing the voice of the Lord. But this dream, God gives him a dream, and God says, this is me, take Mary home, and call the baby Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sin. God gave him quite a shocking thing to do. Because with this move from Mary, pregnant Mary, into his home, would come lots of talk. Lots of opinions. Lots of false accusations for doing God's will. Don't know if you've ever found doing God's will creates lots of talk, lots of accusations, and lots of criticism. And you're just Pastor Michael and me? Well, then you're not doing the will of God, because that's how you actually, you stir things up when you actually obey what Jesus is saying. Then we see that in verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets, that God would give birth. This is in Hosea. Now, what are we seeing here? We see the creativity of the Holy Spirit, the plans of the Holy Spirit, and the absolutely laid down, it is written, of the scriptures working together. And I believe that's how God wants you and I to be. Absolutely solid on it is written. That's what we're believing, because that's the perfect will of God, the word or the promises of God. But then comes the excitement of life with Jesus. With the arrival of Jesus comes immense change. And so the activity of the Spirit starts. He starts to speak and declare things. This is how the promise is going to happen. You and Mary are going to be doing this. This is what's going to happen. And so God is looking not just for the yes in Mary. He's looking for the yes in Joseph. I mean, this is all about people saying yes to what God wants them to do. And God found a man who would say yes to an unusual family scenario that would actually result in our salvation. The consequences of Joseph's yes is now our blessing. We today can thank God for Joseph saying yes. You see, we have a promise. We have many promises that God is wanting us to believe for every promise that is written in Scripture. To not leave anything out and say, no, it's only little old me. He's saying, come on, take it, if not for yourself, but for this generation. Take the promise that I'm going to raise up an exceedingly great army. Take it is written and say, that is what I am firm standing on. God has given us this hope and future. But God doesn't do it without somebody. He does it with our yes. Our willingness to take on the way of the fulfillment of the promise. How it happens? Questionable. I don't know. When it happens? I don't know. Who is going to be there? I don't know. But I do know what I believe. I believe his promise. That is unchangeable. It cannot change. And it's the only thing to base your life on. The word, unchanging word of the living God. To base everything on it is written. Otherwise you will be tossed around throughout life. Unable to receive anything because doubt will be constant in your life. But when you're firmly based and fixed on what God's word says, how, where, when, who, with, isn't really so much of an issue as long as God has your yes. The issue is you, actually. The issue in all of this, God was going to do this, but was he going to have Joseph and Mary saying, uh-huh, fine. I mean, what an attitude. Isn't that fantastic? I want to draw God's activity by my yes. I don't want him to go to somebody else's door. I don't want to miss out on the move of God that's going on here. I don't want to stop what the Holy Spirit is doing by me saying, not sure, don't know if I like it. I want him to have a big yes on the inside of my heart that draws the activity of the Holy Spirit. You see, Ananias in the book of Acts, this is awesome. Like the Rottweiler who got saved, Paul, Saul, who's worse than Saddam Hussein, is out to kill Christians. Not a nice, friendly chap you'd want to go for tea with. Ananias is praying, and the Lord says, Ananias. That's all. If you read it in the book of Acts, he says, Ananias. Ananias says, and I think this is the miracle, yes, Lord. See, God goes to his door because he knows he gets a yes. And he released the greatest missionary by his yes. He went and prayed for Saul. Scales fell off. And this guy was the pioneer missionary for all time. He was a bit of a home bird. He stayed at home. He wasn't the one that went everywhere. But he actually was the one who started it off with his yes. Just as Joseph was the one who started it off with a yes. Don't you love this? Life then gets more interesting by the minute for Joseph. Because used to being poor, think of it. Three rich guys arrive. And drop off a bit of booty. I mean, I'm talking rich. Having Jesus, they went overnight to rich. They went into plenty. And so these guys, these wise men arrive, having followed a star. I mean, imagine Joseph, you followed a star, right. Life's gone crazy. You popped into Jerusalem and Herod was a bit too interested for all the wrong reasons. It's all very interesting. So they drop off gold, frankincense and myrrh. See, this is a real Christmas story with a difference. And I can imagine that night sitting down with Mary. Jesus, baby. This is brilliant, Mary. This is brilliant. We can expand the business. We can go into the property market. Let's build ourselves a future. We're our family, the kids that come after Jesus. We're going to be so blessed. Let's invest some. Keep some for the years ahead. In fact, this could be our pension fund. Because they were rich overnight. I'm not talking about minimal wealth. It was rich. And three rich guys dropped off their offering. Not just one. So it was a big offering. That night, another dream. God communicates. I'm going to just tell you the story. You can read it yourself. You probably know it. God communicates in a dream about Herod. Now, this is astounding for Joseph because not only has he had to accept Mary and deal with God producing a son through Mary, plus rich guys arriving, he's now got a dream that Herod's after them. Suddenly, life isn't just about good times. But I thought I was going to have a quiet Christmas. I thought the promise would make everything right. The promise attracts war. It attracts hassle. Herod is a ruler actually symbolic of Satan. He is cruel and he wants to kill. And so he manipulated the wise men to come back and report back where this child was. He'd already asked the scribes and Pharisees, and they'd given the word that he would be born in Bethlehem because the scriptures are always fulfilled in everything that God does. Everything in your life, you will be able to look back. This happened according to that word. The path was unusual, but the promise was fulfilled. Thank you, Jesus. So he has this dream. Herod's on the go. He's trying to kill the baby. He's going to kill your son, Jesus. Take him to Egypt. Now, you can read it yourself. Joseph didn't hang around. He got up in the night and left. He didn't have just a yes in his heart. He had an immediate yes. He didn't say, let's wait till the kid's a bit older. Or let's wait till the conditions are right. His heart was, yes, if it's now, I'll go. If it's you, I'll do it, Lord. And so in the middle of the night, he realized that all that wealth was to pay for the trip to Egypt. And not for a business expansion deal. Everything he thought about his riches were being moved by the Holy Spirit into divine purpose and destiny. I believe God wants to move our wealth into kingdom purpose. He wants to bring the wealth of the nations to facilitate the gospel of the kingdom reaching the whole world. And he needs faithful, yes, people who will channel that wealth for the purpose and will of God. It's the right perspective on wealth. Isn't it important in these days? Because materialism can actually tie up your life in things. And if all you're doing is pursuing things, you're missing actually purpose. The purpose is this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. There is a finishing line, and it involves preaching the gospel to everyone. So he immediately left, and he fulfilled another scripture. Out of Egypt I called my son. Everything the Spirit does is backed up or a fulfillment of the word. It's good, isn't it? Don't you just love to believe the promise, be fascinated about how God's going to do it, and then when it's done, you say, God, you're awesome. Receive all the glory and find that yes in my heart. In Egypt, after a couple of years, God speaks to him to come back to Israel because Herod had died, and to move actually to Nazareth because the scripture said he will be called a Nazarene. I don't know if you've got it yet. It's all about the scripture being fulfilled. Did you get that during this short little interlude with Joseph and Mary? Did you get that? It's all about, in your life, my life, the word being fulfilled. How is going to challenge your thinking? When is going to be God's timing? Who with is also going to be quite unusual? I mean, Joseph, if we asked him, what was your life like after Jesus arrived? He said, well, extraordinary. I met people that I wouldn't have met as a carpenter. I received stuff that royalty received in my house. I did things that actually broke with the normal way that people live out their lives here on earth. Life with Jesus, he would say, well, it's unpredictable, yet written. It's unpredictable, but it is written. Love that. Jesus has my yes. I will say yes to him. No matter what he asks me to do, I know it will mean that there will be a fulfillment of the promise. You see, how important is obedience to God? Obedience is called the obedience of faith. So actually, we are called not just to believe, but to do his will. And when God communicates, and there's no condemnation here. It's when he says something, we say yes. We're not trying to make up what to do. But out of this relationship, and this is why we are in these days saying, come on, we need to keep drawing close to Jesus. Keep being in relationship with him. Keep being close to him, listening to his word, worshiping him. Because he wants you available to hear. Because what you hear, you can obey. If you're at a distance, you're not able to hear him. But if you're close, there is the clarity of hearing his voice and following him. I obeyed. In every generation, there's an influence of obedience going on. From the first, when we read in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, it's obedience that made the way for Jesus to impact the world. The book of Acts, when Peter preached, he said, the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey him. What does that mean? It doesn't mean the initial infilling. It means the ongoing activity and power of the Holy Spirit is given to those who say yes to what God asks them to do. Obedience has got such bad press amongst God's people. And yet it should be the word that makes us most excited. Because at the end of obedience is fulfillment. Obedience leads us to the fulfillment of the promise. To the blessing of God. God doesn't just say, I want you to go through that door. He tells us what's behind the door. He describes the promises. And he says, if you go through, that's what you're going to get. The promise is our destiny. The things to come, God speaks, it is written. And our current call is to listen to his voice and say, what do you want me to do, Lord? Who do you want me to witness to? Not do you want me to witness. That is already written. Don't ask the question, do you want me to be a witness? You have been called to be a witness. It's already been said. It's just a yes, Lord, wherever. To whoever you lead me to. Speak, because I'm listening. I want to go to the one that you've actually highlighted me to minister to. It's a yes to forgiveness. It's a yes to not taking offense. It's a yes to loving one another. It's a yes to a commitment to building the church of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is building it, I want to build what he's building. It's a yes to building the local church. It's a yes to joining together in the mission of Jesus to reach the world. It's a big yes to giving my finances. It's yes, Lord, to worshiping. It's yes to raising my hands. It's yes to shouting for joy. It's yes to going where you send me. It's a yes. And that will release the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a good word, this. I believe this is a continuation of the work of the Spirit amongst us. God's saying to us today, can I find a yes in you? For whatever I ask you to do, will you say yes? Or will you say, actually, you know, it's just got to fit my schedule. I mean, imagine if Joseph said, it's got to fit my schedule. It's not going to work like that, guys. It's the way God wants us to live. Now, I don't think we really know the excitement of saying yes yet to the full measure and the consequences that we can change so many people's lives by saying yes. Praying for one person. Just imagine if you were an Ananias. And forever it's recorded. Well, that guy actually got that guy released in the Spirit, full of the Spirit. It's brilliant. See, if each part does its share by saying yes, we're going to have everything that God said. It's not just my yes. It's not just those who are currently saying yes. It's all of us, guys. God needs every one of us. He wants all of us to say yes. And not to have this attitude, well, it's just got to fit in my lifestyle. I'm married, I've got kids, this is what I do, and then I'll fit God on. But it's having Jesus actually as Lord. You know what you do when you have a boss? You have to say yes. They ask you to clean the office. What do you say? No! Well, you'll probably get the sack. We understand that in the workplace, but do we understand in the church that if Jesus is Lord, it's yes, Lord. Lordship, the Lordship of Jesus is in question when we say, I'll think about it. It's unquestionable to me. I might say, I don't know how you're going to do that, and I'm finding this a bit uncomfortable. But the issue isn't my brain, it's my heart. Will I still say yes, even if it looks a difficult path? It still is Jesus Lord. Jesus actually said, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say. Why do you call me? Call me, Lord. Because we can say it and not do it. What was Joseph? He was a doer. He said, well, God spoke to me. I've got to go to Egypt. Come on, pack your bags. We're off. He was a protector of that child and a facilitator of Jesus coming to reach the world. What about today? In the body of Christ, we are in a different time to Joseph. So we mustn't read Joseph as if it's the new covenant, because now Christ is in us. Now we have the Holy Spirit in us. And Jesus said he will guide us into all truth. So the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. He doesn't lead us into deception or to weirdness. He leads us into truth. He gives us the witness of the Spirit. We need to train our inner man to hear and respond to God's promptings. And on Wednesday night, we are having a training in the prophetic at the Bible school because we want to facilitate the work of the Spirit. But today, we are not just God and me. We're God, me, and us. Just as in a natural human family where you have a mum, dad, and kids, a member of that family, like the husband or the wife, doesn't just take off and say, I'm going there. There's an accountability and knowing where you've gone and a kind of connection with family life. And I believe that hearing God is within, biblically, it's God's will, it's within the context of the family of God, where there's a checkout system in place so you don't end up in a mess. God broke independence over your life when you got saved by making Jesus your Lord. He broke that independence, saying, when you confess him, Lord, you're saved. Not confessing just Savior. You say, Jesus is my Lord. That broke off your ability to say, I will do what I want to do. And you moved into a new lifestyle of saying, I will do what he wants me to do. And his will is outworked in the connections of the body life. Just as my whole physical body is up here today, I did not have an independent leg that stayed at home today. And God says, look at that picture. We move as one. We're different parts. We're different giftings. But we're in the same body. And so this destination of the fulfillment of the promise comes through us saying yes within the context of a community life. If you imagine air travel, I'm going to Beijing in Christmas to see Corrie, a missionary who we love and support out there. Well, actually, she's coming from Mongolia to Beijing. That's where we're going to spend a week. We fly from Bristol to Amsterdam and then Amsterdam to Beijing. And I wouldn't really like it if there were a lot of independent planes out there, saying we'll go whenever we want, wherever we want. Because I'd be a little nervous they might cut across our flight path. And life with God is life in the Spirit. It's a walk of faith. You can't see the flight path. It's not like a road laid down and saying, okay, I can see everything. You fly by your instruments. You fly by faith, the word and the Spirit, the witness of the Spirit. But you've also got outside people saying, you need to be leaving the airport at this time. Taking off is then. And we know where you're going. You're not suddenly going to take a UE unless there's a problem with the plane and fly where you suddenly have a whim and a fancy to go. Because that is going to cause chaos in a community that is organized in the Spirit. Which is why, now this is not an easy word to bring, but I believe you're ready for it. It's why the scripture says, obey your leaders. Hebrews 13:7. Obey your leaders and those who rule over you. That first of all, they have to give an account to God. We have to, and this is why you need to pray for us. We have to give an account to God for how we lead. Not to you, but to God. We're accountable, and there's an accountability within the context of leadership of Pastor Colin. There's an accountability going on here. But the word says, obey your leaders. I didn't say it. Jesus says it. And if he's Lord, then we need to get on the right flight path. And if we're in the flesh, we get off the flight path. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but I'm really happy when somebody says, get back on track. Because I want to reach the destination. The purpose is the goal. The flight path needs to be worked out by hearing God and working out together what God is saying. That's why the scripture says, test prophecy. Not just whether you feel good about it or not. That's not the test. Test whether it is already written and test it with your leaders. Because leaders lead you. It's a revelation. It's an amazing revelation. You have been called to be led. Not just by God, but by leaders. It's written. And if Jesus is Lord, we are going to reach our destination by saying yes to what God says and by allowing a new heart submission to walking together, wanting what God wants for each of our lives so that each of us fulfill our destiny and together we fulfill what God has called us to do. I can think of nothing worse than getting to the end of my race and God saying, you didn't do what I asked you to do. You came up with good ideas. You did what you felt. Which is why we must be a people set on making Jesus Lord. Saying yes in our hearts and saying, Lord, it's written. Things are laid down. That's what's going to be. But how it happens, it's definitely going to be led by your spirit. And the way it happens, it will be within the community of faith where we can't see everything, but we see it by faith. And we're led by the Spirit and in truth and through godly leadership. Praise the Lord for his word and his amazing plan for our yes. Can you see that today? If you give God your yes and you live in this relationship with him, with others, we will see that supernatural leading. We will outwit the devil. Riches will come to the house so that we can preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. We will see Herod defeated. We will see many come to Christ if we come God's way and give him a yes every day of our lives. God speaks today in dreams, visions, the language of the Spirit, witness of the Spirit, the illumination of his word. Many ways God speaks to us, not just in dreams. Don't get hung up on the dream thing. Ask for them from God. Ask for discernment and ask for people, your leaders, your faith group leaders, just that accountability so that you can actually be sure and certain of the path that God is going to lead you on to being an absolute joy. Obedience is joy. It breaks things out of the box, but we like it. I don't want a boring life. Do you want a boring life? It's called disobedience. Obedience is exciting. And it leads us into dimensions of fruitfulness that God's prepared beforehand for us to walk in. Praise God. Let's stand together, shall we?
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.